Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, another exciting special session in New Mexico.
Well, the special session, you didn't quite understand why it was special. They passed legalizing of recreational marijuana, but why they didn't pass that during the regular session or what the urgency was that they had to spend millions of dollars bringing people back into Santa Fe for the special session, that's not being implemented until 2022. And so you just sit here and shake your head at their excuses for doing what they do. Big news across the country. In Atlanta, Georgia, you have Coca-Cola and the Major League Baseball saying that the Georgia legislature, in trying to implement some safeguards in the election, is totally wrong, and they're saying that they're not going to play ball there, that they're just going to think of somewhere different to play. Now, that's amazing because Major League Baseball does require an ID to get your tickets. In other words, to get into the stadium, you actually have to present an ID. Is Major League Baseball accepting the fact that they're racist? Are they acknowledging the fact that they're racist to the American public? Also, Coca-Cola, it's amazing when these corporations begin to talk with political correctness instead of truth.
Well, it's an interesting point. And to that, I saw a release from President Trump saying the left is very good at boycotting what they don't like. And I kind of hate to see this, but I think he may be right. There are more people that agree with us. And if we started boycotting as conservatives, things we don't like, I think companies like Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, they'd be hard pressed to decide who they want to side with because their true concern is not red or blue. It's green.
Yeah, and it's always the bottom line. And so when people begin to use other products, then you will find out that the American people are very much center-right. They're not center-left, as the media claims. We are a center-right company. People basically lean more conservative, that if you're able-bodied, you should work. If legalizing drugs is a question, I think most people say, wait, we've got to figure this out because parents trying to raise kids, what's the message there to them? The idea of ballot security is just absolutely supreme. And there are so many ways that IDs are required that no one ever says a word. But it's become the buzzword in politics that if you try to secure the ballot, if you try to make sure one person, one vote, that somehow that's racist. And I just think the American people are on the other side. I think the American people say we don't really care who gets elected as long as it's a fair election. That's what I hear. So fair elections is what most people are after.
You and I both live here in New Mexico. We're quite a diverse state. I've been at the polling places quite a few times and never seen anyone who we consider a minority. I don't consider the minorities in New Mexico, but that's what they like to call them. I've never seen anybody denied to vote when I've been voting. People go in, cast their ballot. It's all very peaceful. I'm not quite sure what they've done in Georgia that makes them think that this would keep people from voting. I know about the old Jim Crow laws from a long time ago. But that's not what this is.
No, this is nothing like the poll taxes, not the Jim Crow laws. It's simply saying that one person, one vote should be all that get counted. And it's a very critical thing. Voter fraud is becoming more widespread. It's becoming easier. So let's figure out how to keep the elections safe and fair.
And to that, it's interesting how the Trump campaign picked up so many Hispanic voters. I've always said that if people will listen and understand our values, more people will side with us. And that's what is happening.
Axios and Akis really have done an in-depth study. Now, those are both left-leaning organizations. A couple of people that used to work for Barack Obama's administration are the ones that are key. In Maricopa County, everybody's watching that recount that's going on there. Trump was up 64% over his 2016 performance among Hispanics. In Milwaukee, Trump was up an amazing 38% in Milwaukee among Hispanics. Meanwhile, Biden fell by 4 points in that same theater. He fell 4 points from what Clinton got. A stunning thing happened in Clark County, Nevada, there, Las Vegas. Trump was up 51% among Hispanic voters. Biden was the same level that Clinton got. In Miami-Dade County, among Cuban Americans, Trump was up 51 points. Biden was down 14 points. So you get a net of 64% between Biden's fall and Trump's gain. That was the Cuban Hispanics. But if you're looking also in Miami County at the non-Cuban Hispanic population, Trump was up an amazing 120 points, 120%. And meanwhile, Biden fell 5 points below what Clinton got in 2016. Now, most of the Hispanic voters attributed this to their one guy that was interviewed said, hey, he just aligns with my job better. He said, I'm making more money and he aligns better. He said, I hesitated because of the way he communicates, but at the end of the day, I voted for him because of the economy. And some feared that Biden would actually do what he's doing, shut down major pieces of the economy. They feared correctly because they're seeing that happen now across the nation. Many times the Hispanic voters really appreciated Trump's business background. Many of Trump's gains were made among the conservative Latinos. That was understandable. But the area that Axios was probably the most amazed at was his gain among Hispanic women. That was a group he did very, very badly among in 2016. But when he began to talk not about the immigrants themselves, not about the pluses and minuses of that, but when he began to talk about securing the border, the wall, when he began to talk about his economic policies and growing the economy and getting pay up, that's when the voters in the Hispanic population began to gravitate to him. So Trump has taught us a lot about being open, honest, and transparent. He really was his own worst enemy from time to time with his tweets, with his combativeness. But overall, he made magnificent gains among Hispanic voters that I think the rest of the Republican Party should be very aware of. We in the Mexico Republican Party are going to continue to engage these minority voters, whether it be Black Americans, Hispanic, Asian. We are deeply engaged with all of these elements of the population, and I believe that when we welcome them to be a part of our conservative dialogue, that we're going to see gains here in New Mexico that we've never seen before. So, Derek, we're excited about the future. The president, during his time in office, laid a good plan for us. People ask me all the time, is he going to run again? I don't know, and I don't think he knows. I just had a major donor who called, and he's headed down to visit with the president this week, asked what I would recommend that he tell the president. And I said that he should tell the president that none of us can predict the future as far as the public and that support publicly goes. That he should keep his name in the public like he's doing now. He should be testing if the hate that the left had for him is still there and would still affect an election like it did this time. If that hate is there, then maybe he should be out supporting Republican candidates. He can be a magnificent force for us, but just don't go to the sidelines. That's what I see a lot of people do. They lose an election, it takes the wind out of your sails, and you just never make another attempt. So he's definitely not doing that. His family is engaged. He's engaged. And I think it's going to be good for the Republican Party as he decides what he's going to do into the future. He's already laying out social media platforms that are going to compete with Facebook, Twitter, and the other means of social media. So just stay tuned because a lot is happening in the conservative side of the Republican Party nationwide and here in New Mexico. Stay tuned in the next segment. We have Senator Mark Moores. He is the Congressional 1 CD District Number 1 candidate for U.S. Congress in the Albuquerque-centric area. So stay tuned. We've got that coming straight up to you.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as Steve Pierce talks to this week's guest.
Well, Derek, as we mentioned in the first segment, we're joined today by a special guest, Senator Mark Moores. He's the Republican nominee for CD1 in that special election to replace Deb Haaland, who has resigned her position to become Secretary of the Interior. And in my opinion, the Democrats chose probably the best target for us they could. Senator Moores is going to stack up very well against Representative Stansbury. She is far, far left, often calling for the dismantling of the oil and gas industry. I guess she doesn't realize that 40% of New Mexico's tax revenue comes from oil and gas. And so that appears to be sort of her mantra, that we're just going to do the things that the left describes. So, Senator Moores, thanks for being on the program today. congratulations on your recent win at the State Central Committee meeting. Tell us a little bit about what you're finding out and your perception of the candidate that the Democrats chose.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you for having me on the show today. It's been a whirlwind of activity. I just want to thank you and so many of the conservatives around the state for stepping up in this very unique special election that we're having for a wonderful once-in-a-generation chance to actually flip a seat. And as you well know, the Congress is so tight right now. If we flip four seats, we actually take control back in Congress and get really close moving forward into the midterm elections next year. And the momentum has been huge. We're seeing a created crisis on the border with President Biden's decisions, and then the impact, as you just mentioned, on the oil and gas industry here by his moratorium on new permits. It's having a huge impact, and it's going to scare away this critical industry. As you mentioned, it's 40% of our state revenue. This is how we spend our money for teachers and roads and our law enforcement here in New Mexico. And I guess my question to Representative Stansberry, my opponent, is where are we going to get that revenue? She's introduced radical anti-oil and gas environmental legislation that she called the Climate Solution Act, and which has pretty much shut down the industry here in New Mexico. And those jobs are moved to Texas or into the Dakotas or Alaska and elsewhere. And we won't have that revenue to take care of our schools. And so it's a critical, critical difference between me and her on many, many issues, be it the oil and gas in support of our jobs here in the state of New Mexico. And a big issue is crime, as you well know, and here in the central New Mexico area in Albuquerque and Bernalillo County. And the crime has been through the roof in the last number of years. And this doubling down on the defund the police effort that is just sending shivers through the people here in New Mexico. It's just crazy watching what's happening around the country. And looking at the crime rate here in Albuquerque, it's just, it's crazy. And their efforts to take the resources away from our men and women in blue are really, really frightening to a lot of folks here in the central New Mexico. And I've been standing up against the crime issue for a number of years, introduced legislation that would have brought in 60 new police officers here to Albuquerque that the Democrats actually killed. So it didn't make a lot of sense. And I think there's a stark difference between us and our side and the values that we have as conservatives than what the Democrats are bringing to this table. And if we're really going to take this to them, we're going to talk about our conservative values, but we're also going to talk about real issues that are impacting New Mexicans, from crime, the double taxation on Social Security that the Democrats refuse to repeal here in New Mexico, even though we're one of just 13 states that does that. Those unfair taxes that are really hurting our senior citizens, especially after COVID. And we also have a huge difference about how to reopen up our small businesses here in New Mexico and open up our schools and make sure that we're prepared if there's ever another pandemic so that we don't actually shut down small businesses and kill our economy. Because as I talk to people around the state, as you well know, I was on the front lines of the COVID fight doing testing, and I got a chance to talk to waitresses and bartenders and people who were put out of work all summer and fall long, that they didn't want these government handouts. They wanted to get back to work. They knew how to operate safely. They knew how to take care of themselves, and they wanted to get back to work, and the shutdowns really hurt these small family businesses that have been in operation for generations. And I think we really need to take a look about how we make sure that never happens again and that not one single executive has this unlimited power to shut down the state. So we're going to be talking about these issues. It's a very, very fast campaign. Elections is on June 1st, but early voting starts May 4th. So I really encourage everyone who get active in this campaign, go to moorsforcongress.com. You can make a donation there, or you can sign up to volunteer, because we've got to get the word out really quickly so we can get this seat flipped and we can really help change New Mexico and secure America's future going into the midterm elections. Again, that's Moors, M-O-O-R-E-S, forcongress.com. And we're really going to do a good job hitting the ground running and flip this seat come June 1st.
That's a great summation there. Now, you just finished up as a sitting state senator. You just finished up the special session. And before that, about a week before that, you were in for the regular session. Tell me a little bit about the crime bills that made their way through the special session. Everyone knows that the governor insisted in the special session that marijuana be legalized. But what did we do for crime? So talk a little bit about that if you can.
Congressman, did nothing. There was vacancy when it came to leadership on crime from the Democrat side this last session, and particularly the special session. Usually special sessions are for emergencies, fiscal emergencies, or there's something really happening. And here we are a year into the pandemic. The governor never called the legislature back for a emergency session to deal with the pandemic. She took all that power on herself. And for her to call a special session to legalize marijuana, rate 10 days after a regular session, I think was appalling to many people. It wasn't an emergency. It was her wanting to get her agenda through, and she wasn't able to do it in 60 days. And she, right in the middle of Holy Week, called a special session, made everyone return 10 days after a session for two long days, and just crammed her agenda through. And there wasn't anything in those bills that helped us deal with the crime issue in New Mexico. In fact, it made it much worse. Her bill, there's nothing about minors being able to be convicted or charged for possession of marijuana. I mean, think about that. So if you're a cartel and you want to do something and you want to be able to grow and distribute marijuana, you get kids who are under 18 to do it for you, knowing that they cannot ever get arrested or go to jail. So this bill actually made it much worse here in New Mexico and did nothing to address the critical issues of how to reopen New Mexico safely from the COVID pandemic. It did nothing to address crime. It certainly didn't help our senior citizens and repeal the Social Security double taxation that we tried to get through during the regular session. And it definitely didn't do anything to help the oil and gas industry that has been hurting for a number of years now, and then especially with the Biden shutdown. So this special session was a waste of $50,000 to $80,000 a day that she spent bringing the legislature back up there. And it was just not an emergency and did not need to happen until next year or even then.
Over the weekend, we had our 31st murder victim in Albuquerque. Last year at this time, it was 15, so it looks like we're doubling our pace. And last year was a record year for homicides in Albuquerque. And so what we can expect if the Democrats elect their representative for CD1, we're going to have more of that in the national stage. If the voters in Albuquerque choose Senator Mark Moores, we're going to have a conservative voice there saying, we want our kids to be safe on the streets. We want our education system working better and more local control. We want our businesses open, and we absolutely must do something about the crime. Let's all get out, support. He's giving you the web page. Let's get active. These elections occur more by people's interest and more by people volunteering than money spent on TV. So this is not a time to be coy. This is not a time to be complacent. This is a time to really get out and contend for the values that you want to represent New Mexico. It's my belief that Senator Mark Moores represents those values. Senator, thanks for being on the program with us today. Best wishes in your run, and let us know how we can help on Inside New Mexico.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your time, and God bless.
Steve Pierce and I will be right back with more Inside New Mexico.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as I talk with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, I understand John Boehner has a book out.
He does, and it's a very angry book. I was stunned at it. I have not read it yet. I haven't bought it yet. But John Boehner is one of the enigmas of the Congress. He was one of the flamethrowers when he was first there and part of that 1994 group that took Congress over. You remember Newt Gingrich ascended to speakership when the Republicans hadn't controlled Congress, the House of Representatives, in 40 years. And the Democrats had just become so corrupt that Democrats wouldn't vote for the Democrats anymore. And so the Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, ascended. Well, through the years, when I went in 2002, Denny Hastert was Speaker. And then we lost the majority in 2006, so Nancy Pelosi. But during that time, we had Tom DeLay was our leader, and he was leaving Congress, needed replacing. I actually supported John Boehner because I felt like he was the better one to fight and contend with Democrats. Immediately, then he began to compromise, and then we took the majority back in 2010. So starting in 2011, he was the Speaker of the House. And the Freedom Caucus formed because John Boehner was basically giving the majority to the Democrats. He would have 150 of us voting against his legislation that he was letting the Democrats pass with 50 or 60 Republican votes. And that's what started the Freedom Caucus, saying that we're going to band together because we need to be standing on Republican ideas. Boehner, in his book, claims that these people that came in 2010 didn't know how to govern. He said, I tried to talk to them about compromise and the way you govern. Well, he was always compromising our values toward the left, not the left's values toward us. And it caused great, great rifts in our caucus. And eventually, John Boehner left Congress as a sitting speaker, the only sitting speaker ever to leave Congress, because he completely lost control. He had mismanaged. In the book, he calls Ted Cruz a reckless a-hole. He's always been very plain spoken. He called Michelle Bachmann a fringe lunatic. And then Roger Ailes at Fox News, he said he became a lunatic too. Everybody that didn't see life from John Boehner's point of view, in the book, he calls them lunatics. And this is from the guy who himself was a flamethrower early in his congressional years and then simply decided that he's going to be a part of the problem, not a part of the cure. With all of those Republicans that got elected, it was about 100 Republicans elected in 2010. He called them Tea Party kooks and just words like that. The Tea Party was responsible for him being speaker. And yet he compromised so many of the values of the Tea Party that people were angry at him. I always tell people that at one point, one of the national magazines wrote up that 12 hardest votes for John Boehner to get. It's a list that my name was on. Boehner at one point called me into the office and said, Steve, you're not being a very good team player. And I said, sir, I don't know exactly what that means. He said, well, you're not voting for our Republican bills. And I said, you get the bill right, I'll vote for it. If you have it wrong, I'll vote against it. He said, well, son, you just don't understand. When you're here, you work for me. I said, sir, when I'm there, I work for the people who elected me. And I said, please don't forget that. I work for the people in New Mexico, in the 2nd District of New Mexico, and I'll represent their values. You might know that I was not among his favorites, but to see this angry book now from a former Speaker of the House is in my mind beneath him. I think everyone knows that he took $1 million a year contract to lobby for legalizing marijuana nationwide. And so something he fought against his entire political career, now then out of politics, he's become the chief spokesman to do. And so it's that kind of reversal, of course, that I think tells magnitudes about Speaker John Boehner. He's a nice guy. I liked him really well, but his leadership was lacking, and this book was lacking. In the last couple of days, another book has come out. Hunter Biden is telling all. In the book, he talks about when he really began to sleep with his brother's widow. Brother passed away, unfortunately, and Hunter said that he formed a relationship with her when she was very vulnerable and that he was at a very low point himself. I mean, in one area, he's talking about demanding that his father give approval so that the people out there in America would think it's okay that he's doing this. This is the guy that has all the relationships with China that the national media refused to cover during the last election. So again, two big books hitting the bookshelves, and I'm not sure that I would recommend either one of them for reading, but I just wanted to share them with you.
And going back for a moment to what you said about Republicans changing their values, I have seen where a Republican might run on conservative values, and then when they win, they try to appease the Democrats and sacrifice their values, which never works. The Democrats still won't vote for them.
Democrats will never vote for a Democrat light. In other words,
right,
people who shift their values from Republican conservative to Democrat moderate and even to Democrat left, you can never compromise far enough because they'll say, oh, I've got a Democrat I can vote for. Your hope is that you appeal to people on values. I used to hear from people who disagreed with me intensely, and they said, we're going to support you because you don't put your finger to your tongue and then hold it in the air. They said, we respect that. And they also said, and you never flinch from your beliefs. And that's what convinces Democrats to vote for Republicans, to try to adopt their values, like you said, has never worked. You know, speaking of compromising values, one of the TV stations in Albuquerque had a story last week that I found surprising. The Glorieta camps, they're affiliated with the Baptist organization, are announcing that they're going to take a contract to house 2,400 people, feed them and house them, the illegal immigrants coming across the border. They are coming in such massive numbers that they're being held literally in the cages at the border that they accused President Trump of. And now then to try to dissipate those hundreds of thousands of people coming, they're doing things like this. We already talked about last week that contract 1,200 immigrants were being dealt with by one contract, $86 million, $398 a night per person. And you just wonder how big the contract is going to be for this 2,400 people. That six-month contract, $86 million for 1,200, just tells you about the desperation that the government has right now. And they will spend any amount of your taxpayer dollars to try to sweep the problem away. Instead of securing the border, which is what they ought to be doing, they're paying these crazy amounts to house people coming here illegally. Now, when I was in Congress, we really had to penetrate hard trying to find out the actual cost. They had these camps that they set up. They were on usually military installations or federal properties somewhere. They put those fences around them, which caused the press to say they're cages. That was the Obama-era administration, and they did it without any complaint at all. But these facilities, with no rent, no nothing, the contractors were getting $750 a day to feed and to educate. A lot of these were kids, and they were telling them or teaching them in school, $750 a day, and that doesn't include the housing. And so you just sit here and shake your head at the way that the government spends your taxpayer dollars. So that's what's going on here in New Mexico. Derek, great show today. The conversation with Mark Moores tells us that we're in good position to win this CD1. All we have to do is work hard and see that we get to the finish.
Thank you, Steve Pierce. And if you, our listeners, would like to get involved with the Republican Party of New Mexico or just find out more information, don't believe the stereotypes you hear from the opposing side. Check out the website at www.gopnm.org. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you'd like to talk to somebody in person, you can call Republican Party headquarters in Albuquerque at 298-3662. That's in the 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.